This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Let's talk a little bit about the Steelers again, because, you know, they're coming up now on a game with the Las Vegas Raiders, Sunday Night Football this week, so they're in another primetime game. I got to work Monday morning with Crowley and Doran, so, you know, I'm going to be tired because I'm not gonna go to bed until that game's over. There's so much anticipation. There's so much that you want to look forward to, but maybe you might be apprehensive about. Now, many of you out there I know are pessimists, and that's fine. There's nothing that you could see or hear or watch that you'd be swayed by, right? There's so many reasons to be pessimistic as well, and that's how we protect our feelings sometimes, right? We don't want to be too optimistic, because then when we expect the best and those expectations aren't met, then, you know, we get sad. We don't want to be sad, right? We want to be happy as much as possible. That's just nature. It's just the natural reaction of people. So if you're pessimistic out there blindly, I mean, that's fine. I guess I kind of get it. But you know, try not to be. And then for the rest of us, like, we're looking forward to seeing, okay, can the offense make adjustments? Will the Steelers decide maybe earlier this year to start playing with urgency instead of, you know, methodically running through a scheme that doesn't work? And that's really the question. Is Matt Canada competent? I don't think so. You know that. And that's a fact right now. And if you heard yesterday, too, or the other day, I think it was very interesting what's been going on with the Chicago Bears and kind of lining them up to where the Steelers are in comparison. And this is just kind of a way to center everything to the point where maybe the Steelers aren't like the end of the world for how they're playing. Like, it's not the end of the world that they've played as poorly as they are, because other organizations in the NFL are in much worse situations. Now, that's not excusing, and I'm not excusing the Steelers for a lot of the decisions they make, and I still think the offense is atrocious, and that needs to be addressed. Could be worse, could be better. But just keep it relative. Don't be too upset, because it could be the Cleveland Browns, where they're spending so much on Deshaun Watson and they're pretty much forced to keep him now because he's too much of an investment and too much of a cap hit if he were to get cut. And then you have the Chicago Bears, where Justin Fields spoke yesterday, and he said he was asked about, you know, robotic play, because he's talking about, you know, I feel a little bit robotic when I'm out there. Reporters followed up. Justin Fields says, you know, it might be coaching. And that's the only thing he said. Just, it might be coaching. So, you know, maybe I got to work with them and feel a little bit more free. And that's the only thing that he ended up saying. Like, why is it robotic? The first thing he thought of was the coaching staff. He later tried to fix it and say, no, everything's on me. Everything's on me. Don't, you know, if you're going to hold anybody responsible, hold me responsible, and that's fine. Why I bring that up is because I think there's some respect that you got to give to Kenny Pickett and the Steelers organization as a whole. Because some of these guys, you know, they go and they speak to the media and they speak publicly and they act certain ways to the point where it's like, things get distracting. I know the Steelers had a B. He's, I think he's an exception. Le'Veon Bell, I don't, he just, you know, the holdout was a little less than, at least he wasn't on the field while he was doing some of the nonsense things he was doing. He just had a holdout, which wasn't great, but I think that's a little bit different in terms of attention grabbing. But, like, you know, in-season distractions that you have, it's nice to know that, okay, Kenny Pickett's not going to take that bait, if you get what I mean. Like, Kenny Pickett, or not even that it's bait, but Kenny Pickett's not going to just go out there and express himself in that way, saying that the coaching staff is the problem. I think that's respectable, and I think that's good, because I think that Kenny Pickett and Justin Fields might have similarities in the case that they're not being able to be free. There's too much thinking involved. There's too much game planning, you know, micromanaging game planning being executed, and there's not enough, hey, let me just be free. Let me just play like I know how to play, like I've known how to play when I was in college and what made me successful as a college player. And that I understand. I just have a lot more respect for Kenny Pickett now, knowing that Pickett isn't going to go out there and say that the coaching is holding him back. Just outright. Maybe he feels that way. Maybe he doesn't. But the bottom line is he hasn't said it publicly, and I think that that is respectable. Now, something else to also hold hope for is that the Bears lost their defensive coordinator to resignation yesterday, which means that can remind us all that Matt Canada very well could resign on his own in the middle of the season. He doesn't seem like he will. He seems very determined to get this Steelers operation working, but, you know, just keep that in the back of your heads too. He could resign on his own terms. And maybe we'll get another offensive coordinator who can scheme better, or maybe he'll get it together. I don't understand where he comes from a lot of the time, where he's scheming, and where, you know, when he speaks to the media too, it's like when he speaks publicly, he just, first he was boring in his quotes, and that was almost unforgivable. Because he wasn't doing much and he wasn't saying much. Now that he's in his third year, though, I mean, he progressively through that second year too, like when they started 2-6, and he would speak during his media day, he sounded upset. This past week, he sounded upset. Now he's just got this blind ambition, like, grr, you know, I'm Matt Canada, and, you know, we want to do better. We want to win. Of course, we don't want to lose. He's really just saying the same thing, but just angrier. Like, the most of the words that Matt Canada says are the same, but now he's just angry about it, which I guess he's trying to give off the impression that, you know, he's passionate and he cares, which that's great, but also it still doesn't mean anything. Like, okay, of course you want to get better and, you know, of course you want to stand up for the team if you're a coach, that's respectable, but your schemes aren't working. What you're executing is not working. Whoever's fault it may be, it's ultimately your job as the offensive coordinator to scheme the offense around what the defense is doing. Maybe that's letting Kenny Pickett roam a little more freely. Maybe that's playing with a little more urgency and doing a more hurried up offensive approach. I'm sitting here right now, I don't have the solution with my football experience. But there's clearly a problem. And Doug Whaley said it perfectly yesterday. Relying on the defense to score is not sustainable. Relying on 2 touchdowns per game by the defensive side of the football is not sustainable. It's not going to win you many football games throughout a season. So the offense better pick it up. I mean, it's that bad, though. It's not just like, okay, yeah, maybe they scored 21. Maybe they're averaging 21, 24 points a game. And it's like, you know, it's okay. They might be losing, but at least the offense is making games close. That's not what it is. And that's why there should be a call for change some point soon if it doesn't get fixed. Because there is a clear problem to to identify with what the offense is doing. But I'm just tired of him being angry as well, just blindly angry, like, oh, you know, we want to win. Yeah, well, of course you want to win. I do believe that he's not trying to have this team lose, but his plans and his stubbornness is just not working for him.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Got a phone caller at 412-928-9370. Good morning. What's your name?
Good morning. This is Danielson.
Oh.
Not Canada. No good.
Yeah! Danielson called it again. Thank you for the call. Matt Canada, no good. All right, I'm with that. He came in yesterday and said Kenny Pickett was no good. Now he calls in today and says that Matt Canada is no good. Daniel, thank you for the call. And if you want to join the conversation as well, you're welcome to 412-928-9370 is the phone number to reach me. You can also talk to me through X if you want to tag me in a post. At @Callas_33 is my X handle. That's @Callas_33. Again, tag me in a post there or call me at 412-928-9370. And we got another caller. Good. Good morning. What's your name?
My name's Earl.
From Canonsburg?
Yep.
Yeah, I recognize you. All right, what do you want to talk about?
All right. How do you think we all know that Canada's he's a loss. But anyway, how do you think we stack up against Las Vegas?
I'm scared because Jimmy G could pull some stuff out of his rear end, if you know what I mean.
Right.
You know, he's a good QB. The defense can hold up. I think they're a better offense than the Browns were. And the Steelers' offense just doesn't score right now. They haven't proven that they can score. So I'm actually kind of nervous.
Yeah, I can see what you mean. With our offense, I'm nervous about everybody we play.
Yeah. Now, is that a good thing, though, that you're nervous? Because like you want them – you feel like they can pull some of these games out, but the offense scoring 7 to 14 points a game is not sustainable. Like, you're not going to beat everybody or even the majority of your opponents if that's the case.
You know how they take a close-up shot of their quarterback just before the play?
Mm-hmm.
If you watch Pickett's eyes, he's either got fear or disgust in him.
You're not wrong, Earl. Hey, Earl, thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
All right.
Nice guy. Roll from Gettysburg, regular caller. Yeah, I mean, that's true, too. Pickett is playing with some fear. Now, I don't think he's living in his fears. I think he's a confident quarterback, but we talked about this yesterday, that if he's running for his life on every play, if he's being chased, he's not going to be as efficient, and that's what you need the offensive line for. Now, part of that blame could be on the offensive line. That's fine. Pickett did not make the best decision every single play. I think that's excusable, but it's also something to scrutinize. But I still hold Matt Canada to that account because they've had success last season in the second half of the year when they were in desperation mode playing hurry-up offense. So they could do it. And I think they have a better offensive line this year through some of the acquisitions that they made. So I feel like they can do it. It's just right now I blame it on Canada because his job is to identify over time what's wrong and make adjustments. Whether it's just him not making the observations, whether the coaching staff around him is not communicating effectively with him to make him aware of what's going on. It's a failure in the coaching, I think, most overall. And Canada is the scapegoat in this case because he's got the coordinator title. All right, I got another caller at 412-928-9370. Good morning. Introduce yourself.
Good morning, Nicholas. This is Mike.
Hello, Mike. What do you want to talk about?
I just had an analogy of what I thought about Matt Canada's offensive coordinating abilities. Are you familiar with the movie Waterboy?
I've heard of it, but I've never seen it.
Well, in this movie, there's a coach of a kind of a backwards team in college, and his name is Coach Klein. And he has this little magic notebook where he wrote all these plays, and another coach stole it, and they're in the championship against each other, and Coach Klein finally stands up against the other coach, and the other coach, he has no clue how to stop him. And when I see what the Steelers are doing offensively, I just think of Matt Canada as being like clueless of, you know, how to scheme anything or how to, you know, present an offense in a way that, you know, helps our team. And he's just clueless.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And thanks for the analogy. Yeah. Canada, I want clueless. I like the word incompetent better. I mean, he knows football. He just doesn't know football well enough to coach at the NFL level. I'm not going to call him clueless, though. He can design schemes, but he's just not aware enough to make adjustments. And then that makes him incompetent because his job is to make those adjustments. I mean, I think he knows football enough, or he knows football to a point, but not well enough to coordinate an offense at the NFL level. That's fun to call him clueless, though. I'll give you that. I mean, it's fun. It's fun. I guess you said word clueless. I like the word incompetent though a little bit better. But Mike, your points are all taken. I mean, and I like that analogy, the movie analogy with that you're talking about there. That's Canada's just it's rough. And again, I mean, Doran talked about this yesterday too, which I think is an interesting perspective that there's a whole offensive staff that's supposed to be helping to figure this out. Right, there's supposed to be many offensive coaches that work together to identify issues or holes, and then they're supposed to relay them to Canada. Canada can't just make those adjustments, you know, by himself. He can't just look from the coach's box and see everything that's going on. He needs some communication relayed to him so that he can make the best decision and the best play calls. But you know, at the end of the day, he has the coordinator title, so we're all going to look to him. And if there's a failing, it starts with him, and it starts with Tomlin. They're almost equal in the responsibility that they're held for these offensive struggles, at least from my perspective. So I encourage you to hold them responsible as well. Many of you already are. You didn't need me to tell you that. But that's where it starts, with those two, regardless of where the other coaches are. And if the rumors are true that Canada doesn't play well with other coaches and he's stubborn, that's just foolish. It takes a whole team to be able to put together the best structure. And if you don't have that that team, which, again, the coaching staff is a tiny team, just like the players and their individual positions, and then, you know, the offensive and the defensive side of the ball. They're all little teams that all come together to create the big team that goes and competes. So if Canada's not willing to work with other coaches and take those suggestions, then shame on him for that. That's not the right way to go about business. Is it's my way or the highway, so to speak. We'll take one more caller before I got to take a break. 412-928-9370. Good morning. What's your name?
It's Vic. What's up, Harry?
Vic from Hazelwood. Nice guy. What's on your mind?
Hey, listen, man. Mike told the story, but he didn't tell it all. And the water boy, Adam Sandler, was like the T.J. Watt. The boy was bad. And the coach was Klein, but he was the Fonz in the movie. He was Henry Winkler, whatever his name is. But I'm going to tell you right now, until everyone, like my neighbor says, old Italian guy, unless they change Matt Canada coach. That's what he always says. The man just Canada coach. Get rid of him, Canada. So his name's not Canada no more. It's Canada. Canada coach. Hey, Vic, man, you do a great show as always, brother. I love to listen to you in the morning. And, you know, you have a great day, bro.
You too, Vic. Thank you for the call. Matt Canada. And that made my morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.